Interesting Items 0605. Howdy all, a few interesting items for your information. Enjoy. In this issue. 1. Injustice. 2. Supremacists. 3. COVID. 4. Ford. 5. JCS. 6. Day. 1. Injustice. I get asked from time to time what I think is the most serious problem in the US today. After a bit of head scratching, I always come back to the complete corruption of the federal justice system and using that corrupt system to target newly designated enemies of the state. This is most visible in the stark contrast between the treatment of Jan 6 political prisoners and the BLM, Antifa Summer of Love rioters in 2020. Worse, the regime is busily defining new enemies of the state to target. Last week was particularly busy on both fronts. 10 days ago, a 19-year-old drove a rented U-Haul truck into a barricade near the WH around 10 p.m. at night. The driver was arrested, and faced multiple charges, any one of which would have netted him years in the DC gulag before trial. He had with him a Nazi flag, that officers on the scent thoughtfully spread out on the pavement next to the truck so reporters could get good photos of it to post. Sai Varshith Kandula became the latest brown face of white supremacy the Biden regime is so concerned with. And who can argue with that, as this perp traveled from his home in Mo to rent a truck and run it into a barricade at a very slow speed. The story quickly disappeared with federal prosecutors dropping every single charge other than a $1,000 destruction of federal property charge. Equal treatment under the law? Gone, long gone, unless like Jan 6. This is simply another orchestrated op by the feds intended to mold public opinion. Pretty convenient timing for the attack, a mere week after Biden ran his mouth at the Howard University commencement about white supremacy. As far as Jan 6 goes, there were a couple interesting bits and pieces over the last week. First was release of Jan 6 video showing Speaker Pelosi's evacuation from the building. Her daughter had a camera in her face, shooting a video of the evacuation that was later released to the public with all the expected breathless narrative. Nobody other than Pelosi's security entourage was visible in the hallways traveled. The other story was a blip, pop-up traffic, with the claim that there were at 200 to 400 feds embedded in the Jan 6 crowd. I have seen nothing else that even mentions these numbers. However, since the FBI and intel community have steadfastly refused to acknowledge any of their people working the crowd, I assume they are lying. Note that the presumption of innocence only applies to the individual, never to any collective entity, starting with any government, where the presumption is that they are lying unless they prove otherwise. And if they refuse to answer, they are lying. Next Jan 6 story concerns the perp who placed pipe bombs outside DNC and RNC headquarters in DC on Jan 6. The FBI has video of the vehicle the perp drove, including its license plate number. The video shows the perp entering a car after exiting a metro stop in NVA. The FBI tied the person in the video with whomever dropped the pipe bombs off at their destination. Note that if someone gets off the metro and grabs a vehicle, this means the event was pre-planned, and likely had more than one participant in staging assets. Both bombs were supposedly inoperable. Despite knowing all this, the FBI is currently stonewalling release of any and all information on the perp and their investigation, despite leaking like an overused sieve on all other Jan 6 investigations. Their leadership is currently facing congressional contempt charges for stonewalling. What are they hiding? Final Jan 6 story is an injustice effort to kick the Jan 6 accused in the DC gulag while they are down, and more importantly, deny them the ability to pay for their defense. They are now going after all the GoFundMe and similar crowd-funded accounts with demands for tens of thousands of dollars in fines and fees, draining accounts of funds so the legal teams can't be paid. Expect the black-robed vermin sitting on the DC circuit that have allowed federal prosecutors to run wild over the last 3 years to go right along with the new demands. Their media mouthpieces are cheerleading this, reporting that the feds aren't going to allow Jan 6 targets to profit from their lawlessness. Good propaganda, that. 2. Supremacists. In my estimation, there aren't more than a handful of these bozos running around these days, which presents the Biden regime a real problem since they have been defined as the next boogeyman. As we have seen with hate crimes, the marketplace wants many, many more hate crimes than exist in the US today. Solution? Manufacture them, generally by a young black person. In the case of white supremacy, the targets seem to be Catholics and Republicans, especially conservative Republican Trump supporters, and the manufacturing is being done by DHS, FBI and universities using federal funds. The FBI is also working with the racialists of the SPLC to slime their targets. While the FBI is busily inserting their operatives in Catholic churches to identify, or create, non-existent white supremacists, they have also been working with the SPLC, who regularly lumps conservative groups together with Democrat extremists like the KKK and neo-Nazis. The SPLC has long demonized the Roman Catholic Church, mostly because Roman Catholics are generally among the least likely to endorse all things left. The most recent excuse for the SPLC to go after Catholics is the ongoing trans hysteria. The FBI in congressional hearings claim to be combating domestic terrorism by educating sympathetic Catholics about the warning signs of radicalism. Yeah, right. Tell that to the Whitmer kidnap plotters, convicted as dupes in an op that was conceived, planned, orchestrated, led and executed by embedded FBI operatives. In parallel, DHS is funding a program that identifies groups involved in violence and terrorism. They make grants to organizations to identify groups and monitor what they are doing. Some of these grants go to universities. University of Dayton is one recipient, including the Heritage Foundation, FNC, the Republican Party, Quillette and PragerU is nearly as extreme as the Nazi Party. They also include Breitbart, Turning Point USA, CBN, NRA, and MAGA as proud members of the newly created pyramid of far-right radicalization. No wonder they are coming for our guns. The last piece of this awfulness comes via a Daily Caller piece by Michelle Gama Sosa describing the Garland, in Justice Department's creation of a new criminal category here in the U.S., the political criminal, something first instituted by the Bolsheviks in 1917. Solzhenitsyn described how this worked in the old USSR. In the early days, run-of-the-mill thieves and murderers were often treated with kid gloves, for they could be rehabilitated, with their criminal skills usable by the regime. They were often allowed to commit crimes if they targeted the right people. Odo, political criminals were utterly destroyed, and often ended up in the gulag. They were often referred to as terrorists. The dual track of treatment Garland et al. Are traveling explains quite nicely why BLM, Antifa rioters get a complete pass while Jan 6 protesters get years in the DC gulag before trial and then horrific sentences. It explains why Kyle Rittenhouse got prosecuted and his Antifa attackers didn't. It explains why the NYC subway attacker was arrested over 40 times and always released, while the Marine who subdued him on the subway has been charged with manslaughter. Overseas, we deal with terrorists by locking them up or killing them, usually without any due process. This is how the regime wants to deal with anyone who disagrees with them. And Garland, DHS, DOD, and the intel community are busily setting the stage for just that. 3. COVID. The great COVID cover-up is underway. A couple articles last week on the ongoing memory holding of all the foundational publications used by the Fauciites and the CDC to justify all the failed COVID responses we endured for 3 years, the lockdowns, masking, trashing therapeutics, the jab, school shutdowns, etc. To date, 330 of these utterly important, at the time, scientific treatises, to the Fauciites, have been retracted. Yet their damage and the impact of their damage continues on to this day. The highly influential publication Lancet used fraudulent research to tie hydroxychloroquine to an increase in risk of heart arrhythmia and even death, justifying its ban. The WHO used the Lancet publication to shut down research into hydroxy and ivermectin. And the media endlessly lectured us all about the dangers of both drugs, especially after Trump pointed out their utility. The damage caused by this scientific fraud continues today with the odd new FDA antibiotic guidance on antimicrobial drugs used by ranchers in companion and food production animals currently approved for over-the-counter sales. Essentially, drugs that used to be purchased over-the-counter now require a vet prescription for purchase. This sure does look a lot like another stab at the widespread use of ivermectin, horse paste, for COVID. 4. Ford. I mentioned this in passing a few weeks ago. Now have a bit more information courtesy Motor Trend. Ford announced it was embracing the North American Charging Standard, NACS, for its electric vehicles starting in 2025. This is the charging system Tesla pioneered in 2012. The Tesla Supercharger is the best in the business here in the US, and they are doing their level best to expand that network worldwide. Industry standards like this are the reason that vehicle fuel nozzles mostly look the same, both on the transmission side of the pump, and the receiving side at the hole in the side of the vehicle. And none of this is being done with any help from the feds. The marketplace. What a concept. 5. JCS. As much as you might dislike some of the Trump political appointees, Christopher Wray, FBI, Rochelle Walensky, CDC, and Mark Milley, Chairman JCS, for instance, the Biden replacements for CDC and JCS are much, much worse. Latest example comes from the nomination of USAF Chief of Staff General C.Q. Brown to replace Milley. Brown is one of the most woke generals, leading the USAF to become the most woke service, a mantle held by the Navy since the disastrous Clinton administration when it was destroyed following tailhook by Patsy Schroeder. Brown is an avowed racialist, imposing race and sex quotas for hiring and promotion, a blatantly unconstitutional and illegal practice. Essentially, Brown is conducting a racist purge of the USAF, something he will bring to the rest of the military as chairman. Note that the chairman JCS is not in the chain of command. Rather, his responsibility will be providing the various sinks with forces capable of performing their assigned mission, something that will be difficult when you are purging your war fighters based on the color of his skin. Brown isn't very good at that, as readiness rates for airframes under Brown has fallen to around 54%, meaning that barely over one of every two airframes are ready to go. Tough to perform your mission when half your fleet is parked. 6. Day. Along with the other foolishness going on with the Texas legislature, impeachment of Ken Paxton, the Texas legislature did manage to pass a ban of day offices on all public universities. The legislation is on Governor Abbott's desk awaiting his signature. Texas is the second state to pass such a ban following FL. SC, YA and MO are all considering similar legislative bans. Of course, the NAACP is arguing that eliminating day will hurt Black, Latino and other minorities. Yet, we see that day is the very best at doing is creating racial animosity like it has at Texas on. It is also good at providing a permanent and growing trough of free money for racialists to commit their evil. The average chief diversity officer in Texas today is paid somewhere between $200-$275,000. Legislators point out that money currently being spent for day can now be spent to recruit a more diverse student body without violating equal rights of the students, of course. More later. AG. If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, go home from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains set lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams, Speech at the Philadelphia State House, August 1, 1776.